Good evening and welcome to Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. Thank you all for tuning in this evening. My name is Kat and I'm here with my lovely co-host, CC Love. As a reminder, be sure to listen in at the beginning of each show when a 4-minute Mother Mary sound healing will be transmitted. Additionally, listeners will be taken on a magical, metaphysical, wild ride of what the bleep moments, along with captivating, thought-provoking topics that will bring you on a spiritual path of self-exploration and discovery, spiritual tools and techniques, and interactive how-to practices will add to your own spiritual toolbox, are offered here with the intent of raising your vibration and tapping into your subconscious where all things are possible. And an oracle card reading for the collective will be pulled at the end of the show, along with a couple of what's the bleep moments. Do you see?
Yes, that's beautiful, Kat. Would you like to tell everyone a little bit about you?
Sure. So I am going to just quickly make it brief. I believe a jack of all trades here. I'm an intuitive empath, Reiki practitioner, spiritual shamanic life coach, just to name a few. My metaphysical experience began as a child, and they continue on to this day.
Beautiful. Yes, thank you, Kat. Hi, everyone. This is DC Love. My journey has been amazing, and I've just gathered so many different tools to put in my beautiful spiritual toolbox along the way. A little bit more about me. I'm a divine soul healer, a seer, an angel intuitive. I'm also a conscious channel, an animal communicator, an ordained minister, and a dream interpreter. But the really cool thing I feel like my journey is, you know, can technically be categorized as a what the bleep moment. My journey started with sugar cookies flying off of countertops, my cell phone texting me, and spirit sat on me to get my attention. So that's how I got here today. And I did have a little bit more knowledge that I gained. I attended schools of higher learning, but in my case, I went to heaven several times as I slept, and I acquired knowledge that I've used for myself, but also to help others. And it's really funny because they say, if you snooze, you lose. Well, in my case, every time I slept, I gained a little bit more, you know, knowledge to help others. So I feel really, really blessed to be here and to be here with you, Kat. And with that being said, I just want to give a fast shout out besides our beautiful show, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. We do have Angel Answers. We have Enter the Light. We have The Lighthouse. These are all beautiful shows. And if you go to Blog Talk under Sacred Embers, you could read a little bit about, you know, the shows and sort of get to know our beautiful, beautiful team here. They're amazing, amazing people. So with that being said, I feel it, you know, it's a good time now to start with the Mother Mary sound healing. And Kat, what I want to do is I want to ask you, as the music begins, you and I will join together, and we're going to send this beautiful, loving, healing energy out there along with Mother Mary, okay?
Beautiful. Yes.
Okay. Well, everybody just sit and relax. You can close your eyes and just be open to the beautiful healing that is coming your way.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, you can slowly come back now. Kat, are you with me?
I am. That was amazing. That was
just... You know what, it was amazing, and I was up above myself, and I was looking down at myself, and I could feel the energy just all around us. I mean, it was just incredible.
I did the same thing. Listen, I did
Okay.
What I was going to say is that these synchronicities, DC, or you can't make them up, but, you know, I saw...
No, you can't.
A whole, you know,
we
were around the world, and then I saw... I left, too, and I could see her... these are mirror, like, over, like, the universe, too, as well, like, the planetary... everything. And then I saw this from above as well. It was just,
big beautiful orbs of light, and one was Mother Mary and the other one was Jesus, and it was just, they were shining down upon everybody. And I'm just starting to get my footing back here, because like I felt like we were lifted up immediately, you know.
No, it definitely was. And for you to say that, and I just experienced the exact same thing, is just, that's a what's asleep moment for me.
We are, you know, we're very connected, which is a beautiful, amazing thing. And we were brought together, you know, to be on this journey. So why wouldn't we do the same thing at the same time, right?
Right.
It's just absolutely beautiful.
You know, and I saw,
I mean,
every country, every continent, just people of different origins, you know, just everyone just, you know, just experiencing healing.
Well, I think everybody together, like, you know, like we are one, you know, the great I am.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the connection that just was shown during that healing, and it was beautiful.
It was.
Amazing. And all of our artists, winners. I hope they felt it too.
Oh, you know what? They will have had a healing. Some, you know, may have just felt a warmth, maybe like a nice feeling. And, you know, the more that you listen to it, you'll get more out of it, is what I feel, you know? So, you know, just, I would even say to the listeners, journal about what you felt, because I think, you know, as you go forward, you're going to be really amazed. And,
Kat,
with that being said, I want to talk a little bit now about, you know, the Mother Mary Sacred Rose, okay?
Yes. Beautiful.
Okay, so Kat and I connected with her beautiful friend who was in hospice care as we slept, and we astral traveled. I saw a big clock in the clouds. It said 3 a.m., and that's the time we went to heaven, the three of us, and we connected with Mother Mary. She walked with us on the most magnificent beach that I've ever seen, and we saw the frothy white waves and the beautiful sand. But then Mother Mary began to walk into the water, and it started to cover her legs, and her beautiful blue dress did not get wet. So the three of us stood there in amazement, and we smiled at each other. At that time, I began to channel the beautiful sacred rose healing as we walked along the beach with Mother Mary, and I then realized that this was the eternal beach of heaven that we were at. And not only was it the eternal beach, but this was the perfect atmosphere to release what no longer serves us. So my channeling was so synchronistic once more with Kat and her beautiful channeled message to her friend, where Kat had mentioned a sacred garden, excuse me, with beautiful flowers that nourish our hearts, minds, and souls. At that point, Mother Mary gave each of us a sacred red rose that she placed within our hearts. And as I continue now to read the beautiful channeling from Mother Mary, you too will have an opportunity to have a sacred red rose placed within your heart by Mother Mary. All you have to do is say yes. And I just want to explain that healing does not have to take a lot of time. And this channeling is a significant healing tool, which is very powerful. It addresses all issues. You can use it for yourself, and you could read it for a family member to help them with their healing that is needed. Or you could even gift a copy to a friend. Mother Mary has heard your prayers, and she knows the suffering that you have endured. She asks that you trust her divine healing abilities. We are going to release and let go of all that no longer serves us, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted on you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, and pain that has traveled through the family lines. So sit or lay comfortably, and please close your eyes. Slowly breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. One more time. Slowly breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Now envision a beautiful, sacred rose filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. As you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into your heart. And as you continue to breathe, the sacred rose begins to bloom. And as it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. These blessings are filled with divine healing, trust, and courage, and will help you with whatever circumstances you are facing. You now take a moment and you place your intentions into the beautiful sacred rose. As you do, you feel a beautiful warmth upon your body as divine love and light fills every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects with every cell in your body, and it brings healing where it is needed. You feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace as she continues to fill your entire being with this beautiful divine loving energy, which also heals any situations that you are concerned about. This amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, or even on a soul's level, until all healing is complete. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, knowing that you have unlimited divine resources that are within your sacred rose, and they are available to you when needed. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations. It can go wherever love can go, and as we know, love heals all wounds, and it removes all obstacles. I love you, Mother Mary. So after that was channeled, a few days later, Mother Mary gave me another little message that goes along with this beautiful healing. My beloved children, I am standing with each of you. Some of you may have trouble understanding what you cannot see. Please have faith because I am with you right now, and I will remain by your side. Whatever you are needing, just ask. I will guide and protect each of you. Do not be afraid. I will encourage and support you as you go forward through life's challenges and changes. You must believe that these changes are for the highest good. Release the despair and the doubt that have caused such heaviness within your sacred hearts. This is also a time to give birth to the dreams that you have thought would not be possible. Beloveds, keep going in the direction of your dreams. You will have all the spiritual support you are needing. This is a time of rebirth. Connect with the spiritual blessings I have placed within your sacred rose, within your heart. Beloveds, you are on the cusp of a new life. I love you, Mother Mary. So that was the message that, yeah, thank you, Kat.
you know, the Mother Mary Sacred Rose is so special because it's unlimited. Like, she put it there, and it's unlimited. And for me personally, that's just, along with the Mother Mary Sound Healings, obviously, but the scrolls is something that, like you said, can be gifted to others. All they have to do is say yes, and it's there forever.
Yeah.
And the healing doesn't stop until it's done. And so for me, that's just amazing. You know, you can use it for your family, your friends. It's just, it goes wherever you go. And it's it
and it's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. It's just absolutely beautiful.
On the soul level, and that's such a beautiful gift that we were given. I just can't say enough about it, for real.
Thing about it is, I like simplistic things. I don't feel, as Mother Mary said, healing does not have to be difficult.
No.
And with this beautiful channeled healing, you know, people read it, or you could read it to someone, and the healing begins. And the more open they are to it, the more healing that they will continue to receive. And they could use it, you know, today, and then a week from now something else pops up, go back and read it again and connect with Mother Mary.
Right.
And Mother Mary is waiting to connect with everyone, not just Kat and I. With everyone. She wants to connect with all of us. We are all her children.
Yes. Times, I was going to say, our intentions change, right? Because as they are, you know, things happen, which they have, then, you know, other things come up. So it's every situation. So it's just an ongoing gift of love and healing. So,
it is. And I think the timing was perfect, Kat, because with everything going on in the world today, you know, Mother Mary just felt this is the time to give this tool to everyone, you know, and it takes a few minutes.
It does.
It's just absolutely amazing.
You know, it's beautiful, and I she is making herself so well known. Her and Jesus, they're here, they're real. It's happening, miracles are happening, healing's happening. So with that, I want to give a testimony, if we're ready for that. I want to start with a Mother Mary Sound Healing, and then I'm going to give a testimony for the Mother Mary Sacred Rose. Okay? So, regarding the Mother Mary Sound Healing, in relation to my friend who was on hospice, the healing continues. So, first, she did live long enough, continues to live and live long enough to reach her milestone birthday, which was April 18th. That was just something that was so sacred and special to all of us. And then not only that, but secondly, she was strong enough to travel to the beach and actually went on the ocean, like itself, share with a, you know, that actually rolls in sand, and, you know, it was just such a gift for her, because, again, you know, we don't know what's in God's hands, but at the same time, you know, this is really happening. And thirdly, actually, I was just told this, DC and I talk every day, and I don't know if I even told you, DC, but she was taken off hospice. And that's remarkable.
Yes.
That's remarkable. So that's, you know, there's so many more. That is really a big one. Testimony related to the Mother Mary Sacred Rose. So everything I put into my Sacred Rose has worked up beautifully for myself and others, to include just amazing opportunities offered, which coincide with the vision that DC and I have for the future. And so you have to ask yourself, like, you know, where did these opportunities come from, right? And one thing I did put in the Sacred Rose was, for instance, you know, moving to the beach, which at this time is underway. Another was due to my Uncle Ed and Spirit coming through. I was able to gift, and we'll talk about that later and what the bleep moments, but my Uncle and Spirit came through, and I was able to gift the Mother Mary Sacred Rose to my cousin, which I believe was what her father wanted for his family at the time, as she heals on the soul's level. And afterwards, I heard the words, thank you. So it was awesome. And like I said, you'll hear more about that later. Do you see?
Yes, that was absolutely beautiful. And Kat, I never want to forget the first time I shared Mother Mary's sound healing with you, the experience you had.
It was
a couple days later, and you went to the dentist, right?
Right. I had a procedure done, scheduled for a tooth that just needed to be built up for whatever reason. But it was a procedure I was not looking forward to. And let me preface this by saying, on the way, my GPS would not take me to this dental office. Just wouldn't take me there. I mean, what in the world is going on? It just kept redirecting me further away from it. And so finally, I just turned it off, and I did find my way there. But anyway, I'm in the chair. I have the gas on, and, you know, they're ready to come in. And the nurse first comes in and says, why are you here? And I said, well, you know, the doctor scheduled this, you know, building up of his tooth, and she goes, I didn't see it. And I said, I didn't schedule this myself. So the next, you know, he comes in and he said, he looks at my mouth, and again, I'm still under gas, right, ready to rock and roll, and a procedure I did not want, you know, wasn't looking forward to, and he said, I don't know what to say. He said, but this has never happened before, but it's healed itself. It's healed. Like, and I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I don't need to do anything. It corrected itself. And so for him to say, he's been in business for 30 years, you know, and for him to say he's never seen anything like this was nothing short of a miracle. So that was just something like instant, you know. And that was it. I got up and I left, and then I realized the reason why my GPS didn't want to take me there was because there was no reason for me to be there. So that was amazing. And then
that was
Yeah, and then while I was away out of state, I had just been to, you know, gone through this, and it was a couple weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later, month tops, and I go out there, and it's like a retainer that I have to have for just a couple more months, but it wouldn't fit in my mouth. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me, because you know, I couldn't fit in my mouth. And and I'm out of sync. There's going to be a lot of people around. And, you know, I thought, okay, I don't know what to say. I just, you know, I called a different, you know, dentist who had, you know, made that repair. And I said, I don't understand why it's not fitting in my mouth, you know. And so I need an emergency, you know, appointment as soon as I get back. And so he said, okay, and they got me in. And I get in there, and he said, he did fix it. And he said, well, the reason that it wouldn't go into my mouth is because that tooth that had healed itself had healed more. Like it was just, it keeps correcting itself. and so that's why the retainer didn't fit in. So I just, amazing.
That was one of the most amazing, along with your mother responding to the Mother Mary sound healing.
Right. So
when she had one.
Right. There was a few we did with her, right? And she literally had fallen and hurt her her leg. And this is the one you're talking about, right? Because there's been a few. But she had fallen.
Yes.
And she was not, we were in the ER for, I don't know how long, honestly, it was so long. It was like 10, 12 hours. And they just, you know, she sat there and she just was in such pain. And she was told that she had broken, she had broken her hip as well, but her leg, she had broken her, the hardware in her leg. Like her doctor had already told her that she had broken the hardware in her knees and her leg because she had knee replacements, right? So if that was the case, that would have been awful for her to go through that surgery again. And we're not really sure, like, if she would have even done it or been able to go through that again. So with that, we finally get called back, and the doctor comes back, and, you know, we had been doing the Mother Mary healing on her. And when we go back, DC literally seals her leg, seals her knee, seals her leg, and the doctor said that nothing was broken. There was no bones broken, which we were told was a almost like 100% possibility because of the pain that she was in and so forth and so on. And here there was nothing broken. And that was just something that was just amazing. And then, but she did, however, have torn ligaments, and it fell under a pretty severe injury. So the next day, she ended up getting an appointment with her orthopedic surgeon, and he confirmed that there was no break, but she was also told that she had to undergo, like, oh, I don't know, like 6 weeks of, you know, elevating her leg over her heart. And this was something that really wasn't an easy, you know, wasn't an easy thing for my mom to do because she's a little woman. And so we finally, you know, got her to the point where she was able to do it, but it was for, you know, several times a day, and it was just a real inconvenience. So when she went to the orthopedic surgeon, he said, not only wasn't anything broke, but she didn't have to elevate her leg anymore. Like, she was healing already, and she just needed to do it for a week, and she would be good. And so that was another thing that was just like ongoing. is an ongoing healing. And since then, she's, you know, she's moving around. And
what about her neck? When she went to see the doctor about the pain in her
neck?
She broke her collarbone?
She broke her collarbone,
didn't she see the doctor? Yeah.
So this is incredible, yeah. So the collarbone incident was just wild because, again, we've known the Mother Mary's healing because she kept saying her neck hurt. So she went and she was told that she had broken her collarbone, right? So when she went to get these x-rays done, it showed that the collarbone, those MRI, whatever she had done, it showed that the collarbone had already been healing for quite some time. And so it just shows that with these Mother Mary down healings, the healing, it continues. So even though we did do that Mother Mary healing on the collarbone, the healings we had done before even, like, you know, continued. And with that particular one, it worked like instantly because it was healing, I should say. So that was amazing moment.
Citizen. And Kat, to think, you know, she's a senior citizen, right? And she said she didn't want, you know, she didn't want to be operated on for anything, and she wasn't, thank God.
Right.
But when you think of, like, you know, an older person, you know, healing the way she healed is not the norm, right?
It is not, for any of it.
No, definitely not. But I have to say, I've been using Mother Mary sound healing for years. And I would share it at times with a couple of my, you know, clients. I would use it all the time for myself and my family members. And it has always been amazing. I mean, I had different family members that were going to the hospital for tests, which, you know, they had, and the test looked like a little unusual. It even included, you know, a biopsy at one point, and everything always, you know, was perfect. I mean, from one end of the body to the next, and my family members were fine, and they were divine miracles. That's all I could say. It was just absolutely amazing, totally amazing. And I used the Mother Mary sound healing, too, on friends that had specific, you know, concerns about family members. And they, too, you know, were healed, and as well as the Sacred Rose that I gifted, you know, some of the people that actually, you know, were familiar with Mother Mary's sound healing as well, and the healing just continued. I mean, I had heard of, you know, people with heart issues, you know, being released from the hospital. There was nothing wrong. Excuse me. And, you know, all these other issues. I mean, the one woman's family member, they had to, you know, knock her out and go in the operating room and see there was what they thought, you know, might have been like a, you know, a mass within, you know, that they might have to possibly remove. So she was under anesthesia, this woman. And when she woke up, they said, no, it was just swelling. And she went back. That was with the Mother Mary sound healing. And then I gifted my friend the Mother Mary Sacred Red Rose healing. And she went back, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. And, you know, the response from this woman is, what do you mean? You know, there was absolutely nothing wrong.
Amazing.
So I just, you know, I mean, Pat and I, you know, we're an instrument of the divine that the divine uses to help people. And we're just blessed to be used in this respect.
Yes. And, I remember talking about which continues every day. Really, we do this, right? So the ancestral, generational, we use that for our families as far back as they go that have passed, because through the healing that is given, Mother Mary comes in and she and Jesus, and they're actually, healing those who, again, as far back in time in our history, of traumatic events and, old wounds, old belief systems, things that just cannot, they have not been able to get past. And, and through us, we're able also to help change the destiny of our future generations, as well as, they change our, some of the things that we may be going through as well. So it's just a win-win situation, and it's just amazing. And, when I see this, the first time we actually did it for this traumatic event, just to get rid of, karma, curses, the whole nine yards. I could actually see it going through like speckles, so it doesn't have a limit. It just goes back as far as it needs to go, which is,
and it
me,
also gives past, but it also, it heals past generations, and they are finally at rest as well. So, I mean, it's just, it's a divine miracle is what it is. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. It is. It is. Did you want me to go ahead and talk a little bit about some healing modalities?
Oh, great. Yes, that would be wonderful.
So I'm going to just talk about some science-based healing modalities. And so what I'm about to say really falls under the healing arts too. There'll be more, but right now, scientifically, when we talk about trauma can activate the nervous system's fight or flight response. And so just talking about the healing arts, for instance, exercise, right, it has been shown to mitigate the effects of the stress hormones pumped through the body during a traumatic stress response. And research suggests that 30 minutes a day, society, and that could be accomplished really just by getting on a cross trainer, walking, running, yoga, Tai Chi, really anything. And along with exercise, diet plays a huge role in our physical and mental health healing process. Getting rest, avoiding street drugs, drinking alcohol in moderation, using mindfulness-based practices are inherently healing because it grounds people in the present moment, which reminds them us to stop focusing on traumatic events, negative thoughts, negative behaviors. And also remembering self-care is just so, so important when coping with, emotional, psychological, mental health and physical symptoms of stress and trauma. Examples of self-care would be, like DC actually mentioned earlier, journaling, reading a good book, a feel-good book, spending time in nature, watching funny, feel-good or spiritually-based movies, listening to music, that's music therapy, playing an instrument, you can sing, dance, you can write poetry, just doing anything creative, and having a supportive environment to include, for instance, stepping away from toxic people, places, and things is really important. But, we live in a toxic environment to begin with, whether it be the air or the water or, whatever, the foods or wherever we are. But, we want to be supported, right? So, but there's some who just can't step away. So for those who can't get out of a toxic environment, you want to do your best, the best you can, by focusing on what is working, but, perhaps joining a support group, or you can initiate a meetup group with like-minded people to help you. Okay? And so while, for instance, holistic and integrative medicine is becoming increasingly accepted in the West, we are still behind the eight ball here compared to the East and other parts of the world. And so holistic healing is characterized by the treatment of the whole person. So we're considering the mental, emotional, physical, energetic, social, and spiritual dimensions of a person's life, rather than just focusing on the symptoms of a disease. And so, again, that's what, the Mother Mary Sun Healings, the Mother Mary Rose, these are things that, are important to remember, there's ways to prevent things we can do to help, ourselves as well. For instance, the sound healing frequencies are used in the same way as, for instance, patients, that influences shifts in our brainwaves. So it works by activating the parasympathetic nervous system, calming the stress, flight response, and sound healing frequencies have been scientifically and spiritually shown to create miracles and cure disease on the cellular level, clears ancestral generational trauma, karma curses, as well as mental health disorders and a host of other things. Like I said, the Mother Mary sound healing is just one example, and there are many. Energy medicine helps, for instance, to connect our inner life force, can shift physical, emotional, and mental dysfunction to health and wellness. And healing practitioners, for instance, address blockages and open the natural channels of our being at a high vibrational level, so mind, body, and spirit are functioning optimally. And the body can then work to reverse dysfunction and disease through its natural ability to heal. For example, Reiki is a Japanese form of energy healing that removes blockages from your energy fields, chakras, and auric fields. So you become unstuck in certain areas. Qigong has been used for thousands of years and is part of an ancient Chinese medicine. It involves using distinct movements to optimize energy in the body, mind, and spirit with the goal of improving health and well-being and healing diseases. Acupuncture is a Chinese medicine which you're receiving thin needles that are inserted into your body to balance the flow of energy, also known as our life force, to relieve pain and a variety of other conditions. Yoga, practice that connects the body, breath, and mind. It uses physical posture, breathing exercises, and meditation to improve overall health. There's tapping, which is a mind-body method of tapping meridian points on the hand, face, and body with your fingertips while focusing on an issue or feeling you want to resolve. Aromatherapy is the use of essential oils from plants such as flowers, herbs, or trees as an approach to help with health and well-being. You have massage, which is one of my favorites here. Studies say that massage benefits help reduce stress. And this is what we want to do is, again, reduce stress, right? So lessen pain and muscle tightness and increase the relation. It increases relaxation and improves our immune system.
You know, that's amazing. These mindfulness-based practices are inherently healing, again, because they reliving, you know, these traumatic events of the past, the negative thought patterns and behaviors, because some people may find it difficult to relax. It's a way of stopping a thought from progressing and staying in the present moment, because we can't really change what has happened, right? In the past, it's gone. You know, in terms of mindfulness, right? These are, again, other healing modalities. But in the future, really cannot be predicted in terms of mindfulness. And for mindfulness, many people are stressed and have anxiety because it's a perceived anticipation of something that hasn't happened yet. So it's a way to just get them to stop and think about and stay in grounded in the present. And that's really what we have. And that's the place, too, that we're co-creating, right? We're doing everything in the present moment. So, you know, these are all used as like an avenue for releasing pathogenic emotions and mental health, assessing and treating spiritual disharmonies in fundamental ways for dealing with just a variety of disorders. Hopefully that made sense. DC, did you want to talk about the spiritual?
Kat. I mean, what you did mention are also considered to be spiritual. And I think, you know, any of those that were mentioned is going to help. So it's up to you. And this, anything that can help you develop a deeper sense of meaning and understanding is a good thing. And you could use any of those modalities for your spiritual self-care. And this helps you to get in tune with your beliefs and the values that guide you through your life, and they help to nourish your soul. But when Kat mentioned all the different modalities, you know, some people will resonate with some and others will resonate with other, you know, modalities. It's supposed to be as individual as the person. As long as the modality inspires you, it motivates you, it encourages you, it energizes you, then that's a great modality to consider. And one that I like, even like with little kids, is color therapy. And yeah. I know it's like my grandson Jackson, he loves to wear bright colors. And it puts him in a beautiful mood. He really loves colors. Because colors are healing. And they could, you know, they could stimulate or they could actually like calm you down depending on the color that you're choosing. So that's one that I think is really nice. I mean, Jackson loves to wear blue. He feels nice and calm when he's in blue. And, you know, the color healing is using the electrical impulses in the brain, and that's how we get stimulated. So a color could either calm you or stimulate you. So you've got to watch, you know, what you're wearing, because the color that you're wearing can really affect your mood. It's really important. And another way to use color therapy with children, I think a great way would be eating the rainbow. Yeah. You know, at dinner time, try to have like a variety of different colors for the kids. And I think that helps too, because as we know, the colors, you know, they resonate with our chakras and they're really important. Like the root chakra, that's a red color. It's very stimulating, and it gives us, you know, like a feeling of being grounded and empowered to take action. So, you know, we've got to be more mindful of, you know, what we're thinking, what we're doing. But one of my favorite modalities, of course, would be meditation. Right, Kat?
Right.
So that's one of my favorite healing modalities. And I heard meditation is like chicken soup to the soul. And who do you think came in, Kat? It was Jesus. So he's saying he wants a little air. He wants a little air time tonight. If it's okay with us, it's fine with me.
Absolutely.
So he's saying, what about you, Kat?
Yes. Meditation is so important.
If I didn't mention it, I wanted to. But meditation is so important.
And Jesus wants to, you know, share a little airtime with us right now. And he wants to take us, you know, on a little journey, a little meditation, all right?
Okay.
So he's asking everyone, close your eyes, take a deep breath slowly in through the nose, out through the mouth, and as you do, feel your muscles beginning to relax. And as you breathe, you become more personally aware of how effortless the act of breathing is. You feel everything being restored. Balance is coming back on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. You are now returning to a natural state of peace and being filled with positive energy. Continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Beloveds, it is now time to begin our journey. You walk a short distance, and you see Jesus sitting on a big, beautiful rock by the sea. He is awaiting your arrival. He smiles as you approach, and he invites you to sit down next to him. As you do, you immediately become filled with his loving presence. The gentle sounds of the ocean waves and the seagulls become so relaxing as the warmth of the sand on your feet and the radiant heat of the sun provides such warm, loving care. Jesus' loving presence becomes even stronger and helps you to connect with him on a deeper level. You now set an intention to open your heart more fully and remember who you really are. You focus on your heart center, and as you do, you feel it expand as you open up spiritually. The love you feel is so familiar. It is a true state of being. You are home. Jesus holds you in his loving embrace, and then you gently sit back and you look into his eyes. Pure, unconditional love fills every fiber of your being. Jesus now asks, what areas of your life need healing? You know that you can discuss anything with me. He simply asks that you speak from your heart. Know that you can ask me anything, no matter the problem. He holds your hand, and he reminds you that whatever is weighing heavily upon your heart is his utmost concern. Allow his love and light to uplift and resolve your earthly problems and concerns. You feel completely understood. You openly discuss everything that has been weighing you down. And Jesus reminds you that love is always the answer, no matter the question. You were created from his perfect love, and love is all there is. Everyone and everything is connected to this eternal energy. Jesus asks that you focus on your heart and bring his healing energy and light within. As you do, you breathe out what no longer serves you, and you forgive with love. You notice love is all around you. You breathe it in the air. You smell it coming from the water. You feel it within every grain of sand that touches your feet. You now feel light and free of all that was weighing you down. Finally, you relax, knowing that you are loved and you experience peace now on a soul's level. You can now live life more fully than you ever have, and you realize anything that is not connected to love is only an illusion. All fear is replaced with faith. You now thank Jesus for renewing your heart, and he reminds you that he is forever with you and loves you today and always. Allow love to manifest the life you desire. Jesus once again holds you in his loving embrace, reminding you that you can return anytime that you want, and he will be there waiting for you. Take a slow, deep breath in through the nose and then out through the mouth. When you are ready, open your eyes.
That meditation was bad. I felt purple. Like I went into the zone. Like the meditation, it's just so important. And for him to bring it up tonight, it's just amazing because it's so important. But I saw him, you know. Like,
well, I didn't know he was coming until a few minutes ago.
Is it because I recommend you meditation? I don't
know. No, he just, I mean, I kept hearing meditation is like chicken soup to the soul, you know?
No, that was very powerful. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, DC.
I'm so blessed to connect with you. And we're helping so many people, and I just, you know, it's just amazing to have, you know, this opportunity. So beautiful.
But you're right. Like, it's just, he's there all the time with us, and it's just a matter of talking to him. It as a friend. I have a picture of Jesus in the kitchen, and it's a big picture. And I'll just stare right at him, and I'll talk to him. And
that's what he asked.
Like a little friend.
That's beautiful. Yeah, because he asks, you know, people come to him when they are in need, but not many come to him, you know, when everything is going right. And he wants to be considered as well as a, you know, to be considered a friend.
You know, there's been times I've actually hugged that picture just with gratitude, you know, because you're right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, thank you, or, you know, just thank you. You know, and we do what we have to look at what's going right in our lives as well, right? Not just, like you said, when things aren't always going. So, I love that picture because, again, it's just, I feel like I'm literally, he's always there right with me, you know?
I saw him sitting like at the sea there and stuff, and I just felt, here comes Kat walking down the beach, you know? And Jesus is sitting there waiting.
It's just so,
beautiful.
Yeah, especially the beach. It's just so magical and beautiful. And I feel like many of these, you know, these channelings too that, you know, are coming in they're related to the beach, right? Because that's such a magical, spiritual place, right? That being by the water and you're saying, you know, listening to the waves and, you know, feeling the sand on your feet. I mean, that's just so calming and just so grounding and so magical to me because that's a sacred place in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know? And
it is.
Forever.
Really, truly.
That it's hard to feel in other places, quite honestly. You know? But I love the color therapy as well because, you're right, like color important, especially to the kids and the rainbow colors, the vegetables and all that. I, you know, related to the chakras. So I feel that's felt amazing information.
We're speaking about colors, and I'm seeing rainbow children all around you.
There we go. Well, let's talk about rainbow children. Just briefly for who don't know, so rainbow children came to Earth around 2018, and some before and some after that. They're very creative, have a strong person, are high in energy, and can easily manifest anything that they want and need. They were born with, was I clear here? Did everybody, did you hear me? Because someone was calling me.
Weren't you good, Kat? Go ahead. Clear.
Okay. Okay. So these family children were born with a huge heart and bring joy and harmony to their families and others. Negative emotions don't impact them as much because they tend to quickly recover from things. And they're all natural born empaths, and they have the ability to see through people. These children know that they are, they're telepathic, and again, they just see through, right through other people, and they are protected. The research is limited here, though, because most of these children are still in their toddler stage at this time and or are still being born. So, again, they came to Earth around 2018, some before and some after, which means that you and I have a bunch of rainbow kids all around us, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's interesting. But, you know, supporting gifted children and the children that, for instance, the rainbow children, but it's not just them. It's gifted children in, you know, in general. These are spiritual children who have the gift of, you know, seeing and vision and, you know, they're, I'm not going to use the word psychic, but I mean, they see spirit, you know, and they, you know, they, it's what they came here to do, right? But many of them, you know, are being misdiagnosed with, for instance, mental health disorders, which is really devastating. So, for instance, spiritually gifted children are here to create change and spirituality to awaken humanity. They are extremely creative, highly intelligent. They're free thinkers. They perceive with profound insight into the human condition and can see the truth clearly. They have hyper vibrational energy levels that help them communicate with spiritual beings. And their nightmares in childhood are often caused by the spiritual visitors that, you know, they don't always understand. Sadly, though, these spiritual gifted children find it hard to fit into mainstream society and often become misunderstood, rejected, diagnosed with mental illness, and put on medication that they do not need, right? Because they possess strong intuition and varying strong spiritual gifts, such as the ability to communicate with spirit and have spiritual visions, they often get labeled, you know, in the Western world here, as delusional, having mood disorders, having behavioral problems, or, you know, learning disabilities. You know, so once these children have been wrongly diagnosed and medicated, they're not only targeted by those who don't understand, but the medicine that they're given medicine they don't need, which is toxic in their body. And the reason the medicine doesn't work is because there's no reason for it, but there are side effects that these spiritually gifted children have to endure, which stops their creative minds, imagination, the free thinking, and really time with spirit, right? That's their whole real life purpose has been derailed until which time the Western world really wakes up and or they get the support from parents or caretakers or others, you know, other support, you know, to get them back on track. And, you know, in many Eastern countries, for instance, you know, other areas of the world, you know, they look at spiritually gifted children as shamans and for the person that they truly are. And this is something that is really, you know, hard to swallow here. And these, again, these spiritually gifted children, they are light bearers, they're path forgers, they're paradigm shifters in a world that has, our world, that has lost touch with reality, right? And as they've also come to Earth to teach us about unconditional love and compassion. So you had talked about an episode angel. Do you want to
talk
a little bit about the little girl?
Yes, it was a beautiful little girl. And her name, I believe, was Melissa. And she was 7 years old. And that's the same age Jackson is. And this little girl heard the voices of angels. So the episode starts off with this doctor. I don't know if it was a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And he's waking up in the morning and he's sweating profusely, running around. And throughout the entire episode, he's putting music on louder and louder and louder. He's even running in the morning past this elementary school. And there comes Monica and Tess. They're at the elementary school, and they're looking out the window, and they see him running by. And Monica starts questioning about, oh, maybe I should start to jog. And then Monica looks at him, but he's running. And Tess agrees and says to Monica, he's running away from something. He's trying to outrun his shadow. And then Monica focuses on this beautiful little girl, and she says to Tess, she looks just like an angel. And Tess replies, and she sings that way too. So then Tess tells Monica, you know, this is Melissa. And you see the little children, the beautiful little children. There's a music teacher. Everybody's singing. And then all of a sudden, little Melissa stops singing. And why does she stop singing? Because she starts to hear the angels, the choir in heaven. And the teacher looks at Melissa and asks, you know, why aren't you, you know, singing? She said, well, I'm listening to the voices. Oh, so you're listening to the voices. So she thought that was a nice thing. And she said, no, not these voices, the voices in my, the other voices. So the teacher questions her, and she said, the voices in my head. So the little boy next to her, like, puts his finger up and, like, saying she's crazy. And the other children start laughing, and the teacher gets upset. The music teacher, she reprimands little Melissa, and if you're not going to sing, you know, you and your voice is going to go sit over in the corner. So then, you know, we see Tess again and Monica appear, and Monica's saying, oh, the poor child, she's hearing voices. Can we help her, Tess, you know? And Tess is saying, help is on the way, but it might be the wrong kind of help. Tess looks out the window of the classroom, and the doctor, I believe it was like a psychologist, he runs by the school, and then she responds to Monica, he may just run them both into trouble. So next we see Monica. She's meeting the psychologist, and she's telling him that the university sent her to be an assistant, and he was happy because he didn't think he was, you know, going to get an assistant. So we see Monica and, you know, Melissa's at this doctor's, and she's in the playroom, and her mom was talking, you know, to the doctor, and Andrew, which is another angel on the show, comes into the playroom and, you know, speaks to Monica saying she's going to need backup with this, you know, situation. So he then, you know, says the doctor wants this wall painted because he feels it's really boring. There's nothing on the wall. So Andrew asks Melissa, you know, about the wall, and she tells him, you should really paint something to help the doctor relax. He seems really nervous, and I started to laugh. And the doctor asks Melissa's mother in the other room, who's singing to her? Are these voices of people that she knows or maybe characters from a book? And Melissa's mom says, I don't know, she won't tell me. And then the doctor responds, you know, to the mom, and they're talking. And, you know, Melissa's 7 years old, and the mom's saying, you know, her father is out on business a lot. He's gone away. And she has been, you know, the complete center of her mother's world. And then suddenly this new baby comes along, and the doctor's saying, you know, she's crying, she's demanding, she's getting everything that, you know, Melissa wants. And now he's saying, you know, Melissa is in competition with your baby. So now she's hearing voices. And he tells the mother, you know, she can't describe them. Of course she can't describe them, because she knows that they're not real. She's just trying to get attention. So he labels her as, you know, having sibling rivalry. And he's saying, you better watch. Don't ever leave her alone with the baby, because she poses a threat to the baby. So Then you see the doctor sitting alone with Melissa, and he's asking her about the voices. And he says, you know, are you pretending that the voices that you're hearing? And Melissa says, no, they're not pretending, they're real. And the doctor tells her, you know, no one's going to be angry if you tell the truth, Melissa. I am telling you the truth. Is that why I'm in trouble? Because of the voices? He then says, you're not in any trouble. We're here just to talk. And she asks him, don't you ever hear stuff nobody else can? And in fact, he does. You know, as we know, he's running from the voices in his head. So then we see him again, like there's another part where he's home. He's sleeping on a chair, and the TV has been up so loud, and he wakes up yelling. And we see Tess, she now replaces the music teacher, who in fact has been promoted to a bigger position. And Melissa walks in with the children, and we see Melissa going into the church, and she hears these beautiful voices of angels. And then we see another scene where Melissa is left alone with her little brother. The doctor wants to observe them, and Monica's there too, observing. As she talks to her little brother, she's saying, you know, I'm getting bigger, and I can't hear the voices as well. And she's telling him that he must remember, you know, to hold on to those voices. And she's trying to tell the little brother, you know, if you hear angels, you know, you've got to, you know, hold on to that. So then we see the doctor again. He's jogging. He's been out in a storm. And he immediately comes in. He's sobbing, you know, he's soaking wet, and he puts on music, of course, very loud at his house. And then the sound of birds is heard in the background, and it just drives him crazy. So little Melissa, this was like, it was dark. It had to be like probably like 2 in the morning from what they said. She goes into the church, and she goes to the highest point. And the birds were there, like, in the church, and they startled her. And the next thing you see, a beautiful older woman, her name was Clara, and she's questioning little Melissa why she's out so late. And Melissa replies, I came to see the angels. And Clara says to her, so you think there are angels here? Melissa says, yes, and sometimes I can hear them. And I wanted to go to the tallest place that I knew, so I figured this is where they may be sleeping. And Clara's laughing, and, you know, she's so happy that she hears them. And she's saying, you know, Melissa, it's very unusual that you hear angels. And she's saying, but at your age, for someone your age, that you could still hear them. And Melissa's, like, looking at her, what do you mean? She's saying, well, you've got to realize, you know, you're getting older. There are a lot of noises in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of grown-up sounds. There's school bells and television bells. There's TV, radio, and Melissa replies, yes, and even a loud dishwasher. It's really loud. And Clara says, yes, and all those sounds, you know, really help the kids to forget about angels. But then Melissa mentions her little brother was 6 months old, and Clara said to her, it should be almost that time for him to get up for the feeding. So she tells Melissa she'll walk her back home so she gets there safely. So at some point, the parents woke up, and they saw Melissa in her raincoat because it was raining, and they thought she was sleepwalking, and she put on a raincoat, when in fact she was at the church talking to Clara, who happened to be an archangel.
Aww.
So, I mean, it was like an amazing show, and it did end up where, you know, everything was straightened out because Melissa's mother went back to the doctor. She's saying, you know, doctor, the meds that you put her on are making her like basically a zombie. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't sing. She doesn't smile. She doesn't play. And he's saying, we just have to adjust the meds and Katie will be fine. And she's saying, Katie, you know, my daughter's name is Melissa. So here the doctor was labeling her cat as being schizophrenic. Can you imagine? When in fact, like what he was labeling this little girl with this, what he basically, you know, he was the one that had the issues.
Right.
So with the help of angels, you know, with the help of angels, thank goodness, Monica, Tess, and Andrew, they helped everything to get straightened out. And at the end of the show, they show where we have, like, little Melissa, and we have Monica, and we have the doctor, and they're at the top of the church, the highest point, and this doctor gets to meet Clara. So he sees, like, angels do exist, and the reason he stopped believing in God and angels is that he had a little girl that was 7, and she fell off the roof of a cottage, and, you know, she died, I guess. And from that day on, he never believed in anything. But then, you know, with the help of Melissa and the angels, he did, you know, believe in everything again. And at the end, you see this doctor, he's in the front row with Melissa's mom, and he goes to Melissa's concert. So it was just, you know, it was just amazing. But I really do think there are angels that help us on a daily basis. You know, sometimes they take on a form of a person, and we don't even know that they're angels.
Right.
But it's really important, you know, getting back to our subject, that, you know, you have to, like, especially now, this is a time where children, their gifts are coming, you know, in so much stronger and and really amazingly. And, you know, to label a child that is, you know, spiritually gifted as mentally ill is, it's just unbelievable.
You know, luckily we're supportive, and there are parents and caretakers that are supportive, right? But it's just so important because otherwise they, you know, they also lose it as like we talked about before. But here's what I wanted to say, you know, in terms of, you know, when I did work in mental health, like it's cyclic. Mental health industry itself, you know, you're not taught about this, right? There's, you know, all there is that, you know, the DSM 5 revised right now, which is, you know, you diagnose. And if someone comes in, you know, saying they saw, you know, a spirit or, you know, talking about, you know, spirit in any way, you're automatically, you know, it's in the book of mental disorders that, you know, you are delusional. And so many people get diagnosed. And what happens is that if the report, for instance, is written, right, they, for instance, like you're saying, she gets diagnosed as schizophrenic. Well, many times these practitioners, they don't really read the report in its entirety and just kind of take it, you know, as word, and then we'll go ahead and not do due diligence and just in their report say, well, you know, based on this diagnosis, you know, yes, it's schizophrenia. And then so they're not, you know, they're not doing, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. And it's just is so unfortunate that happens. And so for me, I would get many people that came in. I was always doing, you know, damage control because I knew that they weren't delusional. I knew that they, you know, were just spiritually gifted. You know, even the little ones, you know. But it, you know, they, you know, they could have been older as well. I'm just, you know, it's a problem within the mental health, you know, industry that happens. And it's something that really needs to be addressed. And it really is, you know, a Western type of mentality as well, you know?
But
so,
yeah.
So I look at all, you know, these kids and, you and I both have spiritually gifted kids and, you know, you just support it and it's just, it's exciting and it's amazing and, you know, you just, you know, but it, unfortunately this does happen and until someone steps in and changes the reality, it's not going to happen overnight, you know? So
oh,
it's
gosh.
Taking So that's why these San
But one of the, you know, considerations would be, you know, if you had to take a child to be evaluated, maybe try to find a spiritual counselor, a spiritual psychologist maybe, where they would have the knowledge to differentiate, right?
Right. Well, I feel like there are more and more, like I said, this is a time where you're seeing so much more than we've ever seen before in terms of things we haven't seen in the past, you know? And so, you know, that's why it's so important. Like you just said, like, look for spiritual psychologists, you know, talk to them first and see what there's just so many paradigm shifts going on right now in the world that it's just imperative, quite honestly, you know, in my mind that, you know, we address it. And so that's why I was going to say these, you know, Mother Mary sound healings are so important because, you know, Mother Mary helps them, you know, or just the conduits, right? So, you know, it's just, you know, we just, it's just imperative. But I, with that said, you know, I wanted to just talk a little bit about, just about chronic stress and disease, because when it's something that really is bringing on, you know, for parents, like, you know, of these spiritually based kids that don't understand them, right? But stress can be from anything, right? From, you know, the person you're living with to, you know, your environment to, you know, just things that, you know, just aren't working out in any given situation, right? And, you know, if you're, you know, people are struggling, like, where's the next paycheck coming from? Or, you know, you just, you know, those type of things. And, you know, there's family issues sometimes. There's just, it could be anything, right? But, you know, research is showing that stress is just one of the leading causes of disease. And so I wanted to, because we were talking about, you know, trauma earlier, and this is trauma, right, to these little kids, you know, that we're talking about, the spiritually based children anyway. And so with that said, it's like, noticing, for instance, a stress reaction in real time is important because it allows us to, like, take action and return to a natural, like, baseline. So I'm just going to go over quickly. It's a stress reaction inventory, and I wanted to share it really for awareness to the listeners, and it relates to breaks it down cognitively, emotionally, behaviorally, spiritually, interpersonally, and physical stress indicators. So if you're feeling this, just know that these are indicators, and be mindful, and you being aware is very important to put a change in place. So So cognitively, if you're feeling, for instance, confusion or it's difficult to concentrate, you feel loss of meaning, decreased self-esteem, you're preoccupied with trauma, you know, you feel disoriented, you have thoughts of harming yourself, doubt, perfectionism falls under this, blaming others, is cognitive poor decision-making, you know, if you're having, for instance, memory problems or, you know, heightened or lowered states of alertness, that all falls under cognitive stress. Emotional stress is when you're feeling powerless or you feel anxiety. You kind of shut down the numbness if you fear anything. You know, God tells us not to fear for anything, right? Replace it with love. But this is emotional stress, helplessness, sadness, depression, hypersensitivity, just kind of like an emotional roller. You feel overwhelmed, you know, denial falls in there, panic, loss of emotional control, just having like inappropriate emotional responses and apprehension to things that really, you know, that, you know, you, but, are not doing it. So, all right. So then there's behavioral. If you're feeling impatient, clingy, irritable, withdrawn, moody, you know, you get a regression, appetite changes, nightmares, hypervigilance, you have an elevated startle response. You use negative coping mechanisms. You know, for instance, you know, you're misusing alcohol or any other substance. You're losing things. There's it is the big ones right there. Now we're under spiritual stress, and this is questioning the meaning of life. If you've, you know, for instance, you're questioning, you know, what is your purpose, right? There's a lack there of self-satisfaction. You know, there's, you're angry with God, you know, at this time. You're questioning, you know, there's despair of some thought here. So that's spiritual. And interpersonal, you feel withdrawn. There's decreased interest in intimacy. There's mistrust. There's isolation from friends. You know, there's, you know, projection of anger. There's intolerance. There's loneliness and increased interpersonal conflicts. And under physical, you know, you have physical feelings of, for instance, you know, stress and anxiety, you know, shock, like, for instance, sweating, rapid heartbeat, breathing difficulties, you have aches and pains, dizziness, an increased number of ailments, fatigue, nausea, muscle tremors, chest pain, elevated blood pressure, headaches, visual difficulties, vomiting, chills, fainting. So those are a few, but I want to go back to the spiritual in terms of, it does appear, you know, when you do question your religion, but in my eyes, questioning a religion is a good thing because we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and I believe we all have the same God regardless of, you know, what faith we have. And so, you know, regardless of, you know, that's our God too, right? So it's just a spiritual, it comes from, I feel like, a spiritually based practice, and religion just is, it doesn't matter, you know. But, you know, those of us who are, I was brought up 12 years at a Catholic school, so I do have a foundation of, you know, that, you know, being just Christian, right? So, but at the same time, you know, I have questioned, you know, that for a very long time, you know, because of my visions and, you know, and you know, other things as well, right? The Bible's been written 1,000 times by man. And so I do, though, look at, for instance, scripture that is helpful. So I'm good with that, right? So if it's scripture that is, you know, helpful, power prayer, for instance, is, you know, incredibly important. You know, there's so many things that I bring into what works for me, you know. And so does that make sense, DC?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's wonderful. And, you know, it's not only you and I and other spiritual people who, you know, believe in, you know, connecting with other spiritual people. The Mayo Clinic also, you know, endorses connecting spiritually for stress relief. You know, they talk about prayer, meditation, mindfulness, relaxation techniques. I mean, spirituality is a good thing. And spiritual practices can help get rid of stress. You know,
right.
When we connect to the higher power, we connect it with Mother Mary, we connect it with Jesus. You know, I mean, these are all things that are going to help you to live longer and have a better quality of life as well. So it is important. And there are spiritual groups that you can connect with. You know, there are our beautiful shows, as we are having one now. I mean, there are so many ways to connect with spiritual people and embrace your spirituality. And, you know, I feel like the meditations that we have done today, they definitely do reduce stress.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's scientific. It's proven. You know? Our brain changes. You know, the circuitry of our brain literally changes.
It does.
And we know that because, you know, of brain imaging. You take those who meditate and then those who don't. And, and repeatedly, science shows these brain scans that are consistent over time. You know, that those that are, that meditate, they're more open to receive, you know, all that there is, like downloads and Christ consciousness and, they're better able to deal with these traumas and stresses and be open to, like you said, the more spiritual practices, you know, the power of prayer, just everything. They're just more into universal connectiveness, and they're getting those downloads, and they're co-creating, they're visionaries, they're more open to the meaning of life. And I feel there's so many people who, until they do this, right? Because it takes repetition and discipline to, you can't just do it, once here and once there. The quality of life that you may still be alive, right? But you want your quality of life you want to be happy, you know? And I did watch this, I fell asleep watching it, I will say that, but it was I believe it was called The Happiest Man Alive, or they did a documentary and like, why are you so happy? And you know, he said that, you know, no one is free of, you know, everyone has stress, everyone has anxiety, everyone has heartbreak, everyone has, you know, we're all, you know, human, right? So we're going to feel, you know, things happen, right? But he said it's how you respond to what's happening that's really important. And, you know, and it comes down to, you know, inner peace. Inner peace, he said, was freedom. And that was just really, it struck a chord when I heard that, because that's right, you know. And he talks about meditation, and it's being open to, prayer and all the things that we talk about. And happiness comes from within. It doesn't come from outside of us. It's always from within inside of us. So it's how we handle, you know, what's happening around us. So I thought it was good in the sense that he acknowledged that these things happen to everybody. It's just, you know, how we're responding to it. And we always mm-hmm. have a choice. Yep. So
definitely.
I'll have to report on when I see the rest of it. But it was very interesting, I have to say. Yeah. So are we ready then for a What's the Bleep moment?
Yeah, I think we are. Well, my newest What the Bleep moments, it seems like I always have What the Bleep moments, but
yeah.
My friend's birthday was Saturday, April the 22nd, I believe, and it was Earth Day. And my friend is really an Earth Day like girl, because she loves being outside in nature, so it truly fits with her. But there's also another little Earth Day angel that I connected with, and she wasn't quite 2 years old, and Earth Day was the day that she had her angel anniversary. So I was channeling a beautiful message for my friend for her birthday, which she truly loved, and I heard this little voice say to me, "I went home to be with God on this day too," and it was the little girl that I connected with. And she had the perfect timing, because I was going to channel a message for her mom, and I waited until, you know, the right moment, and the little girl was telling me this is the right moment. So it was just truly, truly amazing. I don't want to read anything personal or anything, but this little girl wasn't, you know, even 2 years old, and she was such a good communicator. One of the things I heard was the song, "I Hope You Dance."
Mm.
You know, she was giving mm-hmm. me, like, messages for her mommy. And then I heard, mm-hmm. "You Will Survive." Oh, I mean, she was just doing many, many different things and giving so many beautiful messages. So she's been, you know, on the other side for a year, but this little beautiful little girl, not even 2 years old, is an amazing communicator. And she wow. wanted to get a message to her mommy, you know.
So that's
it took
beautiful.
Me probably like about an hour and a half to, you know, to get everything. But not only was she a good communicator, she made her presence known. And the one, you know, one of the things that I do that I differentiate, you know, who's coming in, when it's someone that has passed from the earth, they come into my right side and it gets called. And then if it's the divine, they come on the left side. So I knew it was someone coming in, you know, from heaven. And it was just so, so cold on my right side that I had to put on a heavy sweater as I channeled her beautiful little message for her mommy.
Wow. That's amazing.
That was my latest What the Bleep moment.
Well, I got chills as you were explaining
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, my What the Bleep moment was this weekend. I was with my cousin at the beach. And she's very close. And her father, who I briefly spoke about this earlier, my Uncle Ed passed recently. And while cleaning out a drawer, I found a picture of my cousin's son who looks just like her father who passed. So I just, you know, I just was like, oh, how about that? So later that day, I was taking a walk and I crossed paths with a man who looked honestly exactly like a younger, thinner version of my Uncle Ed, who had passed. And when we stopped to talk, he said his name was Ed. So I got chills and thought, oh my goodness. So later that day, I told DC, and she picked up on him wanting to give my cousin and her family a message. And it was very relevant because the message that, you know, she got, DC got for them, directly related to what was going on in the family, her family. So I heard my uncle in spirit say, thank me for relaying the message. And later, while shopping, he came through DC again, and she heard, hi, I'm Uncle Ed.
Yeah, I was traveling in a vehicle with my husband, and I was in a town that they display pictures of the soldiers that were from their town. And it felt like time stopped for maybe 3 or 4 seconds. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and I looked at this gentleman, and I described him to you, and you said that, you know, would be the description for your uncle. And I gave him a salute. And then time started again, and we continued on. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Right after connecting with you, like maybe like 10 minutes later.
Right. Yeah, it was wild. And then I confirmed that he had been, an officer in the service. And so that was very
wasn't disclosed earlier, like when we had the conversation. And I had mentioned to you, said, I think I just met your Uncle Ed, but he had a uniform on. He was, you know, this guy was in the service. And you said you believed he was in the service. So it's just amazing. So, you know, with that being said, do you possibly have a card for the collective?
I do. And I pulled it. And it came from Angel Answers. And the card that I pulled for the collective was listen to your intuition, which is I just feel like at this time is a perfect card. So it reads, your intuition is completely reliable. So listen to your own inner guidance and you can't go wrong. You can be certain that the messages you're receiving from your angels are real and trustworthy. I just got to chill. Have faith in your feelings about the circumstances you're experiencing. Your insights into other people and their true feelings or motives are perfectly accurate. There is no need to question what you know is true.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So with that said, I wanted to thank our listeners, and we look forward to you coming back and listening every Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And I just want to say God bless and have an amazing week. And there you go. That's it. So good night,
beautiful.
Everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.